You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Welcome to episode number 4. In this episode, Charles Roberts interviews Justin Cooper of the Pine Financial Group. They discussed hard money loans, which can be a great option for both new and experienced real estate investors. Justin does a great job of explaining what hard money is and different scenarios on how you can use them. Justin is also one of our expert resources at denverinvestmentrealestate.com. Look, it's no secret that real estate investing is a team sport. Every investor I've talked with and studied has always discussed the importance of having a team. Our goal with the expert resources is to provide one place for a list of Denver-based experts to help you build your real estate team. Justin is our go-to expert for short-term financing. So expect to hear a lot more from Justin and our other experts. You can find them at denverinvestmentrealestate.com under the resources menu. Show notes and contact details for Justin are at denverinvestmentrealestate.com/podcast4. Here's Charles and Justin. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. This is Charles Roberts. I'm the president of Your Castle Real Estate in Metro Denver, and I'm a 20-year investor. And I have the opportunity today to interview my colleague, Justin Cooper from Pine Financial. Want to talk about hard money. Say hi, Justin.
Well, hi, Charles. Thanks for having me.
So let's just jump right into it. What is hard money?
Yeah, hard money is a very short-term, high-leverage loan. So when we talk about short-term, we're generally talking in months, not years. So Pine Financial's loan is 9 months long. Typically, though, most hard money lenders are 6 months long. And when we say high leverage, we're talking about maybe 100% of the purchase price, maybe even 100% of all your costs, purchase price and repairs, maybe even the closing costs.
So give me an example of why someone would use hard money instead of a just normal conventional loan.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times a real estate investor is going to buy a property that needs repairs. So they may be doing fix and flips where you buy the property, fix it up, and then resell it for a profit. So in that case, you need money to buy the property, you need money to repair it, and then of course there's always going to be closing costs associated with that transaction. So somebody may want to use hard money because they want to borrow more of the purchase price and they want to borrow the repairs because not everybody has enough cash to pay all cash for the purchase and pay the repairs out of pocket. So they want to borrow that money and they may even want to borrow more money because one, again, they may not have enough cash, or two, they may want to do more deals. Maybe they have enough cash for one deal, but they want to be able to do two deals at once.
So give me an example of a typical hard money deal in this market in Metro Denver.
Yeah, so let's just say the after repair value, right, the ARV, this is what you're going to sell your fix and flip for, is maybe $400,000. Well, you may want to buy that for, if you can, $200,000. So if it would be ideal to buy it around 50% of that after repair value. If you can do that and then put $50,000 worth of work into it, so now you're buying for $200,000, you're putting $50,000 worth of work into it, so you're $250,000 in costs, you're going to sell it for $400,000, that now leaves $150,000. That's not all going to be profit. There's, of course, the closing cost to buy it, the cost of holding it. If you're using hard money, there's usually a higher expense to that for the loan. And then there's the cost to sell, where you're selling, paying real estate agents, title fees, other things like that. But that certainly leaves a healthy margin. It'll make it well worth the 4, 6, 8 months to turn that property.
So we'll have a lot of different types of people, different types of investors listening to this podcast. Is hard money more something that an experienced investor would use, or a new investor, or does it really matter?
Yeah, it's a great question. Hard money can really work for any investor at any level. It can work really well for a new investor because it's a good chance for them to leverage higher, because new investors may not have enough cash to be doing the full transaction in all cash. So it's a good way for them to use somebody else's money to get in and do a real estate investment. Also, if you're using hard money, generally the hard money lender is an experienced investor. So you're now leveraging somebody else's knowledge and experience to make sure you're going to be getting into a good deal. They're going to analyze the deal to make sure their loan is going to be safe. on the front end, which is good for the new investor, because now if it's not good enough for that lender, it probably wouldn't be good enough for that investor. So a couple great reasons for a new investor to get into it. But back to that leverage side, it could make sense for a very experienced investor, someone who's maybe doing not just one deal a year, but maybe 5-10 a month, to then be able to ratchet that up. So they may be comfortable doing 2 or 3 deals themselves, whether it be through cash or other means. But when you have the access to the hard money where you can borrow more money, that may allow them to get to the 5-10 deals a month.
So that leads me to my next question. Let's go through a scenario where, let's just say I'm a new investor and I listen to this podcast and I say, yeah, I want to get into investing. This sounds really good. I've got a little money, got a little credit, but I don't have a huge amount of money, but maybe I have some skills. I think I can find a good deal, something like that. And I come to you. Let's walk through the steps of how this would work. I call you up and I say, hey, Justin, I'd like to do a hard money deal. Help me understand what this looks like.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you're coming in at the right time. You're interested. You understand that step one is probably lining up your financing, because financing can be so important regardless of what you're trying to do. Buy a personal residence, own a rental property, do a fix and flip. Understanding how the financing works and the costs associated with it will then help you analyze the deal, because ultimately you don't know, well, most people don't know what you should pay for the property if you don't know all your costs. We usually start with the end in mind. Say on a fix and flip, you're going to sell it for, like we said, that $400,000 price point. And you want to back out your costs and expenses and what profit you want to make to ultimately you know what you should be buying it for. So starting with understanding the financing and what are those big costs can be super important. So what I like to do is get all of my clients pre-approved. So if you were to come to me at that same stage, I'm interested in it, what do I do? Start at step one is to get pre-approved. Fill out a quick application for us, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. It's a good chance for us to get to know you and then for us to have a more educated conversation on how the loan works, because now I know more about you and we can not just talk in generalities, but actually talk specifically to what price points you're able to qualify, you want to work in, all those types of things. So start with that, getting pre-approved. From there, for us, if you are pre-approved, hopefully we've had enough conversations. You understand how our loan works and what those costs are. You understand how you should be going in and analyzing the deal. If not, spend some time on that. Understand how do I work those numbers to figure out what I should offer. Now you're off to the races. You're working with a qualified real estate agent like yourself, Charles. And from there, you want to go out and find a good deal. And a good deal can take all different shapes and sizes, but understanding what you're looking for and what you're hoping to accomplish, you need to define what a good deal is.
Can I ask you about that? So I hear like ARV and, you know, I'm a new agent. Like what sort of basic numbers, like what percentage of ARV minus fix-up costs? What do you use for a rough estimate?
Right. So for us, Pine Financial Group, our loan is basically designed around the 70% rule. So if you're out there, if you've done any kind of research on real estate investing, you may have heard of the 70% rule. And what that is you want your purchase and your repairs to be equal to or less than 70% of the after repair value. So how does that formula look? Well, first off, you have to understand what the after repair value is, which is probably a whole other conversation in and of itself. But you understand when the property is all fixed up and beautiful, what would I be able to sell it for? From there, you multiply that by 0.7 or 70%, and then you subtract out the repairs. So if we start at 400,000, what is 70% of that? And then subtract out 50,000. Again, I'm just using that same example we talked about briefly. Subtract out 50,000 from that, and then that would give you your purchase price, because that purchase plus the 15 repairs would equal 70% of the after repair value.
Okay, so I come to you, we talk about this, and I find a property. And I'm like, oh, wow, I've got this property that I can buy for $220. 400 times 70% is 280 minus 50,000, 220. Wait, 230. Sorry about that. 230,000. So I come to you with this property. Now what happens?
So are you under contract or you're just looking to make the offer?
Let's say I'm just looking to make the offer. I'm looking at you. I'm early on in my investing career. My great agent found me a property that seems like it would make sense. I bring it to you and I'm panicked. I don't know what to do now.
Yeah. So first off, we'd go back to your application and say, okay, are you qualified for a deal of this size, right? Hopefully we had to talk about that. But if you're a little nervous, let's go back to it and say, okay, well, what are the actual costs? Let's make sure we're on the same page with how you analyzed your purchase price. How do you analyze the qualification? How do you make sure you understand what the monthly payment is? because when you're using hard money, monthly payments can start seeming pretty expensive. Make sure you understand that and you're comfortable with that. We may even do a little diligence. Okay, well, how did your agent come up with that after repair value? Let's spot check real quick and make sure that they did pull some good comps to verify that. And once you do that, well, now you've got a third set of eyes who's kind of taken a quick look at your project and said, yeah, I agree with your math. This is probably good. I probably wouldn't go to the property and walk through and double check your scope of work. But if you have one already put together and you email it over to me and maybe some pictures, yeah, maybe I'll spend a couple minutes and just flip through the pictures and say, all right, well, your $2,000 in cabinets looks about right based on these pictures or something along those lines.
So I get a nod from you and you say, yeah, Mr. Client, go ahead and maybe get this one under contract. So we get it under contract and then I maybe do an inspection and take a day or two to do an inspection, make sure there's no major sewer scope or anything going crazy wrong that I didn't know about. And then we proceed. Now, what do you need from me at that point that we're under contract and we're 14 days away from closing?
Yeah, so for me to get started working on the project, I need a copy of your contract. I need a copy of your scope of work. I would love the comps to support that after repair value, unless, again, we've already had that conversation and you've supplied those. And that's really about it. I don't need a big, fancy pro forma. I don't need all these great, glossy pictures. I just want to know the three numbers. What is your purchase price? What is your repair amount? What is the after repair value? Does the deal make sense? Give me the supporting documents and let's start working on it.
Are you going to send an appraiser out to actually help with the ARV?
Yeah, I do order an appraisal. For us, it only takes about a week to turn around that appraisal. And what they're doing, they're not looking for the as-is value. They are looking to confirm that after repair value. And to do that, they need your scope of work. So that's why I can't really get started until I have the contract and the scope of work, because I'm going to supply both of those to the appraiser. But we've worked enough with this appraiser to where they can see your scope of work, say cabinets for $2,000, countertops for $2,500, whatever else it may be, and say, okay, so for this type of property in this type of neighborhood, here are the comps they use. Here's the scope of work. Yeah, I agree. It'll be worth $400. Or they'll disagree. But if they do, they'll tell us why they disagree, kind of use that as a teaching moment. But 90% of the time or so, it comes back well within the range of acceptability, and we keep moving forward.
So the point is you vetted this up front. You wouldn't be sending the – because I assume I'm the buyer. I'm paying for that appraisal. So
correct.
You're vetting it 9 out of 10 times. The appraisal comes back and says, yeah, okay, sounds like this one we can go forward with.
Yeah, correct. And that's one of those reasons I want to see the comps as well. And we're going to have a little conversation, because if I take a quick look and see some big red flags, say you back up to I-25 and all the comps are half a mile away or even just two blocks away, that can be a significant difference. And if I see that up front, I'm going to bring it up to you. Did you take this into account? Did you consider this? What kind of discount did you give that after repair value? And if we didn't do any of that, then yeah, maybe we're wasting some time and some money ordering an appraisal. So ideally, we do a quick bit of diligence before we get to that point.
Great. Okay, so it's a perfect world. Appraiser comes in, says, yep, $400,000 sounds great. I close. And how much are you putting into this at this point? How does that work? Am I going to bring any money out of my pocket? What am I doing?
Right. So if we ran it based on that, where 70% of the after repair value minus repairs and all the numbers held true, Pine Financial, because we lend 70% of the after repair value, would be able to cover 100% of that purchase price and 100% of the repairs. But there's going to be closing costs, right? There are title fees and recording fees and courier fees and all those other little fees, right? You're going to have insurance. And of course, you're going to have the hard money costs. Generally, for at least for Pine Financial, our points are charged upfront at closing. So you would have some money out of pocket, but not a huge amount.
But if I'm understanding this right, the 70% of 400 is 280 minus 50 is 230. So let's say I actually bought it for 210. That gives me $20,000 to play with.
Absolutely.
And maybe I don't know what the numbers are at the closing, but maybe I'd actually get out of this for nothing. But maybe if I'm paying 240 for it, I might have to put, you know, $20,000 down. The point is, depending upon how much money I'm willing to put down, I could still buy the property, or depending upon how good the deal was, I might actually be able to get into this for no money for the purchase and also no money for the fix-up costs. It all depends on what I buy it for.
Absolutely. That's the key number, is your purchase price and understanding. And that's why I want to make sure you're pre-approved and we have an educated conversation about how liquid you are. How much money do you have? Because I don't want to make sure you have enough money simply to get through closing. I don't want to set up my clients up to fail. So I want to make sure, because there are monthly payments, because there's a high likelihood, especially if you're a new investor, that something will change in the repairs throughout the project. And I want to make sure you have, you know, money to put groceries on the table each week, each day. So I want to make sure I'm not setting you up to fail. So I want to see how much money you have. And then from there, we can dive deeper and say, okay, you have $50,000 to play with. So in order to qualify for this price point home, you need X dollars in reserves, which would mean you could potentially put Y into the property or to put some money down, whether that's the $10,000 in closing costs, whether it means you have to fight for the no money down deal, or whether, yeah, you could put $20,000 or $30,000 down on the property and still qualify and still be safe.
Okay, so at this point, we've closed on the property. Life is good. Let's dive into the cost now. You referred to the 4 points. So what am I looking at? Let's just at this point say I was able to come in for none of my money out of pocket. What are we looking at for points and for percentage rate, et cetera?
Yeah, so a point is 1% of the loan amount. It's what lenders charge in origination. And really, any lender would charge this, conventional or unconventional, if you want to call hard money that. But typically, when you're in the hard money world, all the costs are much higher, right? When you kind of take a step back, look at risk reward. We want big rewards doing fix and flips. Well, if somebody's willing to lend you a lot of money on these fix and flips, all the purchase and all the repairs, there's a lot of risk to the lender in doing that. So we as lenders would want more reward. That's one way to kind of look at it. So we talk in points and in interest. And typically, points, again, 1 point is 1% of the loan amount. For us, Pine Financial, we're typically 4 points, depending on the size of the deal. The larger the deal, we can kind of do something with the points there. And on the interest, we charge 15% interest. Now, that's interest only. There are no prepayment penalties, but we charge 15% interest. So I want to make sure that everybody understands what does that really pencil out to, so there's no surprises.
So I'm doing this in my head. So if it's a $400,000 loan and it's 15%, that's $60,000 per year interest only divided by 12. Top of my head, $5,000. Is that what I'm saying here? $60,000 divided
Correct.
By 12. That'd
Correct.
Be $5,000 per month I'm paying for it?
Per month. But that is if the loan is $400,000. And so just to jump back, the example we're talking about was an after repair value of $400,000, which means the loan would be 70%
exactly.
of $400,000.
Okay.
So, but yes, if the loan was $400,000, your monthly payment would be $5,000.
Okay. But in this case, what would it actually be? And you have your little calculator in front of you, so hit me. What am I looking at for this type of property on a monthly basis?
Right. So if the after repair value is $400,000, 70% of that would be $280,000. So a loan of $280,000 times 0.15 for 15%, then we'll divide by 12 for 12 months. So your monthly payment would be $3,500.
Okay, so I'm ponying up $3,500 at the end of the month, tax deductible, I suppose, but yes. Okay, so now we've closed on it and I start the work. How do I get the money for the repairs? What do the draws look like? What do I need to get to you to get your money for my project?
Exactly. That's a super important question. And actually, a lot of investors don't spend enough time really understanding how do they get that repair money. So I'm not just going to give you the check for all $50,000, pat you on the back and wish you luck. What I'm going to do is I'm going to divide it up into a series of draws. So for $50,000, what I'll probably do is have 4 draws. So if that's the case, I want each draw to be the same size, just nice, easy math. So 25% of the budget. So that'd be about $12,500 per draw. And what we're going to do at Pine Financial is we're going to give you the first draw at closing. So whether it's no money down or some money down, it doesn't necessarily matter. Either way, you will probably leave with that first repair draw. So you will walk away with a check for $12,500. And you, the investor, will get that, not your contractor. So you can use it to pay for demo. You can use it to order cabinets, whatever you want. It goes to you. So that would leave 100% of the work remaining and 3 draws. So what we do is we will release the draws based on a percentage of completion. So again, just nice, easy math. 100% of the work, 3 draws. The milestones will be at 33% of completion, 66% of completion, and then 100% of completion.
And is that based upon the scope of work that we had developed before closing?
Correct.
Okay.
It's based on the scope of work. So the spreadsheet that we use will actually have columns where you can simply go through and check off what's been done. Are the cabinets installed? Check it off. Are the tiles in? Check it off. So when we do the inspections, when you get to 33, 35, 40%, right, whatever it is in excess of that milestone, we'll come out, we'll inspect the property. And if you say the tile is done, I want to be able to stand on the tile. I don't want to see a box of tile sitting in the garage. I don't want to see a receipt saying you've ordered the tile. I just want to see that the work is done. I don't need receipts. I don't need invoices. I just want to see that the work's complete.
Okay, so we get to the whole thing. We're done. We, you know, basically put it on the market on the back end. Tell me what happens there. We put it on the market $400,000. We get $400,000. We close.
Yeah, so for Pine Financial, there are no prepayment penalties. So our loan is 9 months long. Let's say to get all the repairs done in Denver, the market is super hot. So you're not going to have a long days on market waiting for that offer to come in. So if you've taken, 3-4 months to get the work done, maybe a week or two in marketing before you get that offer that you really accept, maybe another 45 days for that back-end person to get financing. So we're maybe, 5 months, 6 months into the project. At that point, they've got the back-end buyers got their financing. They come to closing. You sell the property. Somebody else buys it. We get paid off. And hopefully everything went well. You cash a really big check and come back, do it all over again.
Okay. So let's throw some twists into this. Let's say, my 3 month plan turned into a 10 month plan. I was a fix and flipper for years and I've had that happen many times to me. The reality is things happen. Let's not pretend they don't. Of course they do. What happens if I'm going past that 9 months and I come to you with hat in hand saying, uh-oh?
It's a good question. Well, first and foremost, one of the big things we do up front to prepare for that is to make sure that you have some money in the bank. Because in an ideal world, if the repairs take 3 months, then that's awesome. But what happens if your contractor skips town, you put 50% down and then he disappears on you? Or you just get in there and you think you're going to replace the electrical outlets and the covers. And then your electrician gets in there on day one and says, actually, we got to rewire the whole house. And now your $500 line item becomes $5,000. So first and foremost, I want to make sure you have money in your pocket. So if and when those changes happen, you've got money to handle it. Because once we lock in that loan amount with $50,000 in repairs, that's all I've got. So if that $4,500 electrical change order comes and now you need $54,000, I don't have that extra to give you. I want to make sure you have that. But let's say you have that money and you handle all these things, but they all take time. Let's say you go under contract and then that contract falls out, right? One thing after another after another. Well, a couple things. First off, have you been telling me these things? Are we talking? Are we communicating through your project? Or are you just putting your head down and just getting through it? Either way is might be okay, but when it comes to that 9 month mark or the 8 month mark or the 7 month mark and you're not done, I may be calling asking questions, but I really hope that you're calling me saying what's going on. I'm doing this. We're fighting this battle. We're getting through it, but it's taking longer. If we're communicating and we're at that 9 month, we will give an extension.
So a lot of hard money lenders have a bad reputation. You just sort of see a lot of scary things about it. A question I get all the time is, what percentage are these hard money lenders just trying to get the property? Are they setting me up to fail to get the property? And I have no idea, to be honest. But let me ask you your stats. In the last year or in the last 50 deals, if you don't mind telling us, I'd love to know how many in the last whatever did you actually have to take the property back because the deal fell apart? Is that an okay question to ask?
Yeah, it's really fair, and it's certainly something you need to think about because there are more malicious lenders. They may not use a third-party independent appraiser to value the property. They may just shoot from the hip. They may say, oh, I've got 20 years of investing experience, so I know the neighborhood. It's this, and maybe they're way off. Maybe they approve your $20,000 budget when we all really think it should be a $50,000 budget. So they're getting you into a project where it's – to anybody with experience might say, yeah, this is not a good deal. We kind of call those loans loan to own because that lender is making the loan with all intentions of owning the property. That is not what Pine Financial is out here trying to do. We make way more money making loans than taking properties back. If it does get to a point where we do take a property back, we're not trying to profit from it. We're simply trying to get our principal back so we can put it to work with another investor. So we've done over 1,000 loans since we started in 2008. Just last year, we made about 160 loans. And I think overall, I think our default is around 2%, maybe just under it.
Okay, that's great. What's a typical type of property you're doing these days? I'm thinking three different things, new developments, fix and flips, or buy and holds. And then anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, so we're seeing all three of those. Fix and flips have been our bread and butter for a long time, but in Denver, it's so hard to find a good fix and flip. And then when you add in the cost of the hard money and the cost of construction creeping up, to have one work using hard money is pretty difficult to find these days. But we are still funding some, not as many as we had been. Rentals, it's still a super strong rental market with interest rates still being low, rents skyrocketing, much as the value. So we're still funding those. The way we approach rental properties is only if the property needs repairs can we really be a good fit. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you could buy it with the hard money, fix it up. All the numbers are the same as a fix and flip, but instead of selling the property, you're using that equity to then qualify for a refinance. And that's when you get into the long-term wealth of the rental. You buy it with the hard money, fix it up with the hard money, and then refinance into a 30-year loan or something like that. Because the rental market is still super strong and there are still properties that need repairs, we're absolutely funding those rentals. But what we're finding more and more is that we are lending on new construction projects. So generally what we're doing are infill type deals where somebody might buy a house, you know, 1,000-square-foot ranch, knock it over, and then build a 3,000-square-foot single family or maybe a duplex where each side is 3,000-square-foot. So a massive increase in size and thus equity. We're funding deals like that. We've been funding deals that are townhome projects where somebody may buy that same single family house, but because the zoning is accurate and the size of the lot and all the other things line up in their favor, they can then build a row of townhomes. So 5, 6, 8. I think the largest one we may have done was 19 units.
So let's wrap up with typical listener might be newer at this, has never done well. What's your biggest piece of advice for someone who is intrigued at investing in real estate, intrigued with potentially using hard money to do their first deal? What do you say to that person?
Yeah, go try it. It's not as easy today as it was in the middle of the downturn as we were just coming out of it. But if you're intrigued today, then pick up the phone and call. Call me, call Charles. You know, call your buddy who's done a couple deals and ask them, what is it like? How do you do it? How can I get into it? How much money does it really take? What's my situation? And, you know, is what I hope to do even possible? And just start asking questions. Come out to the different real estate investor events, Pine Financial hosts classes and different events each month, sometimes each week. I know Your Castle Real Estate also hosts a ton of classes and events. And outside of us, there's plenty of others to be found in the Denver area. So get out and start asking questions.
Thanks, Justin. Really appreciate all this great info. This is Charles Roberts, president of Your Castle Real Estate. If there's anything that we can help you with, please feel free to reach out and say goodbye, Justin.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Charles. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, Chris Lopez here again. So I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did. In addition to being very knowledgeable, Justin is also a very approachable guy. If you have any questions or interest in using hard money loans, make sure you reach out to him. He can be found at pinefinancialgroup.com. Well, that's it for this episode. Remember that you can access the show notes at denverinvestmentrealestate.com/podcast4. Thanks for listening. This is Chris Lopez signing off. Until next time.